The State of the Union.
The State of our Union.
State of the Union.
Is going to be fine.
Very, very public.
A complete disaster.
A little more honest.
Business as usual.
So at the end of this hour, let's consider what kind of a moment this is for large-scale presidential ambitions. The president's big ideas last night ranged from getting the parties to work together more productively to making 2 years of community college free for all Americans. Lots of other proposals in there. Joining us is Sean Wilentz, a professor of history at Princeton University. He's the author of The Age of Reagan, A History and the Rise of American Democracy, Jefferson to Lincoln. Sean, welcome.
Great to be here.
So, What are your assessments? He laid out an agenda, mm-hmm. but it wasn't necessarily go to the moon. Mm-hmm. It certainly felt ambitious to have the parties work together. This seems like a curious, unique moment.
Well, he's laying out an agenda that may not come to pass, but that's not the point. I mean, I thought it was a very effective, very strong speech by the president last night. Maybe the best he's given, certainly as a State of the Union address. Fitting the moment, historically fitting the moment, which is, look, he's come off of a bad midterm. Now he's good looking to the last 2 years of his administration, and he's laying out a very strong, very popular middle-class agenda. I mean, that's what he did last night. He not only laid it out, but he explained why it's necessary. He justified it. He explained it better than he has before, I think. So I thought in laying all of that out, it was very strong. The point is not to think that these are things are going to pass right now. They're not going to pass, most likely, with this Congress. But it does then put the Congress on notice. If it doesn't pass, it's then the Republicans' responsibility. These are very popular things. If this doesn't happen, it's because the Republicans didn't do it. And that's very clear. He's laying out an agenda, not only a political agenda, but laying down markers for another Democratic president to come along and pick up.
I thought he played this tonal game of impressions that Reagan did so well. Huh. It felt like an echo of the good times morning in America sometimes. Here is one example of that.
With a growing economy, shrinking deficits, bustling industry, booming energy production, we have risen from recession freer to write our own future than any other nation on earth.
Now, is he right there? Because he is, as you said, come off a dreadful midterm. This is a good recovery, but it's nothing like the Clinton recovery. Is he right to evoke this, or is he playing a rhetorical game?
No, I think he's right to evoke it because it's coming off of not what Clinton was coming off of, but off of the worst financial disaster in American history since the Great Depression. So we've come a long way. We're not where we were in the 90s, but we're very far from where we were 6 years ago. And I think he has to point that out because not everybody's always been feeling that. And in some ways, he was laying out why you're not all feeling it because there are all of these inequalities built into the recovery itself, as strong as it has been. So I didn't hear so much Reagan there, although there is the always implicit the greatness of America. But I heard him trying to say, look, we really are going now. You know, the engines have started, the engines are motoring up. Things are going. Now we have to get somewhere else. We have to push on with this. But the very beginning was we've turned a new page. We're not where we were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. We've come out of all of that. I think that's right. If the economy keeps on going strong, then the Republicans will be in another difficulty because they'll have to explain not only why their economy is strong despite them, they'll try to claim credit for it, but why they're not doing these things.
So does Obama dare at this moment to embark on a Johnsonian objective? Can any president do that? Can you do what Ronald Reagan did in international diplomacy? Can any president do that now?
Well, I think that he can try. I mean, he won't succeed with this Congress. I mean, Lyndon Johnson could be Lyndon Johnson for the 2 years that he was the great Lyndon Johnson because he had a Democratic Congress. Barack Obama does not have that. But it's a different kind of leadership, or it's rather leadership under a different set of circumstances. Under adversity, which may be, in fact, the way President Obama operates best is under adversity.
And we heard the confidence under adversity. Let's listen to some of the LBJ confidence with a huge wind behind him.
This Civil Rights Act is a challenge to all of us to go to work in our communities and our states, in our homes and in our hearts, to eliminate the last vestiges of injustice in our beloved country.
And he achieved it. And then here's President Obama last night evoking the Johnsonian agenda in the Voting Rights Act in one of the most stirring moments. But again, he's proposing nothing new here.
We may go at it in campaign season, but surely we can agree that the right to vote is sacred, that it's being denied to too many, and that on this 50th anniversary of the Great March from Selma to Montgomery and the passage of the Voting Rights Act, we can come together, Democrats and Republicans, to make voting easier for every single American.
Well, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, look, voting rights is under attack state by state by state. This is nothing that and the Voting Rights Act's been gutted by the Supreme Court. So he's laying down a very strong marker there. I thought that was a very effective part of the speech, picking up the Johnsonian legacy from 50 years ago, but saying, look, it's under attack, and we have to protect it and expand upon it.
Although, is the footnote there, you know, instead of going to the moon, the president is essentially saying, let's get back to the status quo. That's a different form of ambition.
Well, I think that the status quo always has to be, if it's a status quo that was based on what it was 50 years ago, those kinds of reforms, you always have to protect it. It's always going to be under attack, which is really what the Republican Party's been about in this instance of breaking down rights that have been guaranteed. He's also going to the moon because he talked about Mars a little bit. I'll just throw that in.
Yeah.
But, you know, there was a wrinkle to the speech, and that came at the very end. I mean, Barack Obama came to the presidency, certainly got the nomination, talking about post-partisanship. We all have to get together. There's one America, all of that. That was the end of the speech. That was what he got to the presidency on. That wasn't so effective. You know, that didn't get him very far. I think he still wants to justify that. I think he still clings to that idea. It's a very wonderful, noble idea. He may have gotten the nomination in the election originally on that basis. But it's not very good politically. It's no way to govern. The first part of the speech, the first three quarters of the speech, was him having learned to govern and to lead as a president. So it was a funny tension between the two because he still wants to justify those ideas. But I think he's learned, and I think it showed last night, how to be that kind of powerful president that we think of when we think of Johnson or Reagan or any of the others.
I don't want to talk about trade policy here, but before we go, it seemed to me the most ambition moment of the speech was when he said, we should write the trade rules.
Yeah.
Everyone says China's rising. We should write the trade rules because we're economically stronger than China right now. What'd you think of that?
Well, I think he's laying down again. On trade, the Democrats have been divided going back to the Clinton period. He's trying to unite the country, really, around the idea that we are powerful in this world and we're going to exert our power.
More powerful than we think, even.
Well, perhaps, but the point is, in terms of trade, we're not messing around here. I mean, the Chinese are really up to doing what they're doing, and we're gonna confront them. We're gonna make it happen. The other part of the wrinkle, though, was I thought one of the most interesting parts of the speech was when he told them to screw off. In effect, when in a self-referential moment, he talked about how he's not going to be elected again, his last campaign, but the Republicans can't help themselves. They start applauding. Right? It was rude. This is the State of the Union. You don't do that. And there was a powerful moment when he just looked at them and said, yeah, but I won the last two. It was kind of in your face. It was a moment where I saw him on trade as well, but in all these other ways, being himself and being strong.
Sean Wilentz is a professor of history at Princeton University. He's the author of The Age of Reagan, A History and the Rise of American Democracy, Jefferson to Lincoln, talking about this age, last 2 years, of Barack Obama. Sean, thanks so much.
Thanks so much.
We want to know your views on the State of the Union speech, your idea of big ideas and whether they're possible in America in the first 15 years or the rest of this century. If you want to catch up on that conversation or anything else on the program, check us out at thetakeaway.org. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
Support for The Takeaway comes from the Henry Luce Foundation for increased understanding of East and Southeast Asia and the Rockefeller Foundation, whose transportation initiative is promoting equitable and sustainable developments in communities across the country.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.